Okay, this morning, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Matthew in the 16th chapter. One thing that we need to understand when we're reading primarily Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they're what we call they have the same story. And John's a little different because John wrote to Christians and he wrote much later. And so that, you know, we need to understand that our Lord's ministry was to Jews under the law. We as a church have never been under the law. No believer of this age or any of the ages since the first advent of our Lord, he dealt with Jews under the law. And what was the purpose of the law? The law was a schoolmaster or an attendant slave, one responsible for training children. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. Now, how does it do that? Well, let's look at it. It says, okay, don't do this, don't do that, do this, do that. And if we do all of those things, where do we find ourselves? We actually find ourselves condemned, because that's what it was designed to do. And so many people under the canopy of Christianity, they interpret the things of the scriptures to give themselves the sense that they're fulfilling them. Now, we don't have to fulfill the law. And I've been pointing this out in my articles about the sin. The sin was Adam's sin. Eve was deceived into eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Yeah. So when we think about that, okay, what was the deception most? The serpent said to her, Elohim doth know that in the day you eat thereof, a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What is our knowledge of good and evil? It's our concepts of right and wrong morality. And so that tree was marked with a skull and crossbones. Leave it alone. Yeah. For the day that you eat thereof, what happens? You're going to die that day. You're not going to die physically, but you're going to die spiritually. Yeah. Because all the law can produce is condemnation and death. Yeah. So we think about the world, politics, news shows, the whole nine yards. Where is my man's mind? Man's mind is all wrapped up in what he thinks he can do for God. Yeah. And it doesn't make any difference whether it's in any degree of perfection. Yeah. Because everybody knows that no one's perfect, but God is perfect. So if we're going to be satisfied, or if we're going to satisfy God by our performance, be therefore perfect, even how? As your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So the Pharisees, 16th chapter of Matthew. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees. Now these two people wouldn't have anything to do with one another. The Pharisees were ultra conservative, had interpreted the law where they thought they could keep it. The Sadducees were equally self-righteous. But they didn't believe in heaven. They didn't believe in hell. They didn't believe any of the fundamentals of the Word of God. And you have to ask them, well, what are you involved in religion for? Yeah. And of course, religion is what man thinks you must do. But that's where they were involved. But salvation doesn't come by anything that we do. Scripture is very clear. It's not by works of righteousness, which we've done. It was according to God's mercy that he did what?
Saved
that has saved us. So each one of us in this room can say, God's been merciful to me. Because as I look around, they're all professing Christians here this morning. And if we, as those Christians, we've been saved by grace through what?
Faith.
And where did the faith come from? It was not of ourselves, it was of the Lord Jesus Christ. So God gave us the faith to believe. So what can we boast about?
Nothing.
We haven't got anything to boast about. The scripture speaks of one thing. It says, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. Yeah. Now, churches don't get big doing that. Churches get big when you pander to man's sense of right and wrong. And you can get bigger and bigger and bigger. Yeah. Nobody in them is saved, but they're just pandering to, he doesn't drink, he doesn't smoke, he doesn't spit. What a wonderful person. But God's demands on the human family go far beyond the Ten Commandments, touch not, taste not, handle. They were just given to establish the fact that we, put yourself there with a Jew, we cannot possibly live a life that will please God by the works of our own hands. If we're going to have a right relationship with God, Scripture is very clear about it. If you're going to have a right relationship with God, you know, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So his righteousness then is what? Imputed or charged to our account. There's not a just man in this room that doeth good and sinneth not. I quoted that verse that way on purpose because that's the truth of the matter. You know, all of us who are saved, we're still not a just man. We're declared to be just. We're declared to be holy. We're declared to be righteous. But we don't have any of those things because of us. We have those things because at a point of time, through the preaching of the Word of God and the quickening power of the Spirit of God, God gave us the opportunity to believe. Yeah. And if he hadn't given us the faith to believe, we wouldn't believe. You know, it doesn't come down to how many people can I persuade? You know, none, really. But as we preach the Word of God, people are persuaded. It's the Spirit of God and the Word of God that persuades them. And we're just simply vessels in God's hands. And if anybody looks for perfection in us, what are they going to be disappointed about? Well, no, they would be disappointed if they could find something in us that they couldn't carp about. But the fact of the matter is, none of us are acceptable to God by what we've done, are doing, or ever shall do. We're accepted of God by the person and work of Jesus Christ. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made what?
The righteousness
of God in him. So we have what's called imputed righteousness. I couldn't perform the law. You couldn't perform the law. So what are we all puffed up about? Yeah, I mean, you find a lot of self-righteousness in churches. For what? You know, what is there to be puffed up about when the scripture describes us to a T? There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. But that doesn't mean they're all lost. Those of us who recognize that we're not just men, to recognize that we need a Savior. Because if you don't recognize it, you know, you're not going to go out and buy it, so to speak. Okay? So the Lord condemns us with the law. And in his public ministry, he dealt with Jews who were under the law. So now in the New Testament era, people that read the New Testament and all of the things that the Lord says in the book of Matthew and the book of Mark and the book of Luke and some in the book of John, but mostly John was dealing with those who believed, you know, who were born again, born from above, and who had eternal life. And nobody has eternal life because of their life. You know? So, you're dead. And what's the scripture saying? Your life is hid with Christ and God. So, if my life is hid, then your life's hid too. None of us can boast about the lives that we live. And thank God that everybody doesn't know everything about the lives that we live. Why? Because we've all sinned, you know, both before salvation and after salvation. We've all sinned and what? Come short of the glory of God. Now, with a message like that, and the Lord saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. We should be standing at the door with a baseball bat, you know, say, we can't get any more in the room. But it's just the opposite. You know, we don't have that problem. Where they have that problem is where they pander to what man thinks. The natural man thinks that he can have a relationship with God by what he did or what he does. And the Pharisees thought the same thing. While the Sadducees denied virtually everything spiritual, they thought they still had the same thing. You know, they didn't believe in heaven, they didn't believe in hell, but the bottom line was, they still thought they had a heavenly inheritance. If there is one. Yeah. So let's pick up reading here in chapter 16. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees. Now ordinarily, Pharisees and Sadducees wouldn't get together. Yeah. They had opposite beliefs. And tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. Yeah. We'll get him to do something for us. Okay. He answered and said unto them, you want a sign? Well, you get one virtually every day. In the evening, if the sky is red, you say, tomorrow, it'll be fair. You know? But if you wake up in the morning and that red sky is now overcast and low rain, you look up the word low rain, I don't think you're going to find it in the dictionary. But it's just taking something from the Greek and trying to say the same thing in English. And when it's overcast in the morning, what kind of a day are you going to have? You know, here in Oregon, we have a lot of rainy winds. Yeah, okay. Actually, I don't think it rains any bit more here than it did in California when I was a kid, but it rained a heck of a lot harder there than it rains here. All right, so I answered and said unto them, when it's evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. Okay. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and overcast or lowering. He says, oh, ye hypocrites, what's a hypocrite? Hypocrites in Greek is an actor, a pretender. Now, you know, the words that are being spoken on a stage are parts. They're playing characters. The individuals who are playing those parts, you know, their character may be vastly different than the character they're playing, but they're able to, by their acting ability, convince you that they're very nice or very rotten or whatever the part calls for. So that's where we have so many people under the canopy of Christianity. The Jews had it under the canopy of Judaism. You know, they say and what? And do not. Now, really, if we think about our relationship with the Lord, now that we're in the church age, Paul said in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace, what is grace? Grace is unmerited favor. For by grace are you saved. Saved how? Through faith. That is, you must believe that Christ came in the world by the virgin birth, lived his life as a Jew, had no cause of death in him, but submitted himself to the judgment of the Jewish Sanhedrin and was crucified, because without the shedding of blood is no remission, and cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So we're all cursed by the lives that we've lived. And Christ had no sin in him at all, yet he died as a death for the curse of the human family, the curse that said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Jews couldn't do it, you know. And Eve was deceived from being in a position of being in the image of God. And the serpent said, did God really say you can't eat of that tree? Or yea, hath God said? And that perked her right up. Something I might get, you know, and we're all full of ego, mostly after the fall. But, I can gain something, even though I was created from a rib from my Adam's side, from Adam's side, or from my husband's side, I'm better than he is. Yeah, that's what people think. And of course, at that point in time, they had neither one sinned. But she got in the tete-a-tete with the devil, and I guarantee you, if you try to argue with the devil, he's going to whoop you. Yeah. Not unless you know the Word of God very well. Yeah. And so we go on. He says, in the morning it's going to be stormy. So you can read the signs of the time. And he says of them, oh, ye hypocrites, in the latter part of 3, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the time. Now, what were the signs that they should have recognized? God had promised in a particular age, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, how? Made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Why did they need redemption? Because there was not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. The Jews boasted down in Egypt after complaining and carping every step of the way, 60 days into Arabia when they were delivered from Egypt, 60 days out, they say, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Now, if anybody has ever read the law, and we haven't read it all at one time, because the law contains all those things that we see in the book of Deuteronomy and all the things in the book of Leviticus and much of what we see in the book of Acts or Exodus. I'll get it out. Okay, that's what we see. And what's the law demand of us? Be ye therefore perfect. Now, even as believers in Jesus Christ, I'm going to say this to raise my eyebrow, we're not perfect. No, we're declared to be perfect. There's a difference. Actual perfection would require that we were actually good. But declared perfection, because Christ lived his life as a Jew, lived his life under the law, and gave himself as a ransom for sin, he has imputed or charged to our account his fulfillment of the law. So therefore, we're declared to be holy, righteous, and just, but not because of any action on our part. You know, we have nothing of which we can boast. So he goes on to say, a wicked and a generation, verse 4, seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. Now, what was the sign of the prophet Jonah? Jesus said earlier in Matthew, he said, I think it's the 12th chapter, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so shall the Son of Man, which is a designation for the Son of God, God the Son, and he's talking about himself. So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the grave. That's rather interesting. We have people all over the world that get very excited about Christmas, but they celebrate Christmas at the wrong time of the year. Christ wasn't born on December 25th. Took the 3rd century and a pope to tell us that that's when he was born. By what authority did he say what he said? Well, he was speaking ex cathedra, so that means anything he says has to be true, according to Roman dogma. Yeah. But he was wrong. Christ was born in the spring, at the time of lambing. If we just read the accounts in Scripture, what were the shepherds doing while Mary and Joseph had traveled the distance from Jericho to Galilee to Jericho? Pardon me?
Bethany, wasn't it?
I can't hear you.
Bethany?
No, they weren't in Bethany. They were in the hills.
Oh, I don't know.
We're looking for two different things. Anyway, they had traveled all the way to Bethlehem. Because that was the city of their birth, okay? My memory will kick in eventually. That happens more frequently now. You know, it's no big deal to live to be in your 90s. But, you know, the Lord's got a purpose for everything that he does. All right, they came to Bethlehem. And while they were in Bethlehem, the shepherds were watching their flocks by night. Now, when are sheep born in the Willamette Valley? In the spring. When are sheep born in Israel? In the spring. Yeah. So, why were the shepherds watching their flock by night? Yeah. Because they ordinarily would put the sheep in a fold at night, but when it comes time for the lambs to drop the, or the sheep to drop the lambs, or the ewes, or I'll get it, for the ewes to drop the lambs, there I'll get it. I've said it 100 times before, can't get it out this morning. When it comes time for that to happen, what do the shepherds do? They take their flocks into the hills where there's plenty of room, so that they can post shepherds to protect the whole flock. And then, as there's enough space between the sheep so that when a ram, or not a lamb, but when a lamb is born, or when the ewe drops the lamb, it's not going to be trampled by the rest of the sheep in the fold, because that's where they would normally be. So that's the only time of the year when the Jews watch their flocks by night, during lambing. Because you know, it's much easier to put them in a fold where you've got rocks and thorns and all kinds of stuff to prevent wild animals from sneaking into the fold. And then where does the shepherds sleep? Jesus said, I am what? I'm the door. The shepherd sleeps at the door. No predator is going to get in without coming through the door. You know, and Jesus used that to teach us some truth. But the bottom line is, we have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the door. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So he's the door. Now, Jesus goes on and said to these Jews who wanted a sign, a wicked and adulterous generation, and verse 4, seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. Well, what's that? Well, Jonah was told he would be 3 days and three nights in the belly of a great fish. He was told to prophesy, and he knew those Jews were guilty. They didn't deserve any grace. So he wasn't going to go and preach salvation to them. He was being a little bit self-righteous. So put him on a boat, terrible storm. He says, "I'm the reason for the storm. Throw me overboard." Well, ordinarily that would end up in his death. But what does the scripture say? But God prepared a fish. It's a prepared fish. It's a whale. Maybe. It never says whale. Whale. It says great fish. I watch them catching those tuna off the East Coast. And some of the things, 600-700 pounds, incredibly large animals. Well, it probably wasn't a tuna either. But a great fish. And we have fish in the sea that we don't know anything about. They live at great depths. But, we have to understand one other thing it says about that fish. It was a prepared fish. So no matter how much the world talked, and of course it wasn't a whale, that was the translator's error. They said, well, it's got to be big enough for a man, so it must be a whale. But the throat of a whale is made to eat the smallest thing in the ocean, not something as big as a man. And right at it, they have baleen. And the baleen kind of sifts the plankton out of the water as the water rushes through and is blown out the spout. And then they allow those plankton, which are like little shrimp, very very small. They allow them. And then the largest animal in the sea eats the smallest. Kind of interesting, isn't it? Okay. So he goes on to say, and when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And we've taught this, so we're not going to teach it again. But he has to deal with them because they're always worried about food. And that's most preachers that I've known. They worry a lot about food. They usually have good-sized torsos. But then when you get to be my age, I have to take a pill to keep from losing weight. This for this, and this for that, and tit for tat, or whatever. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and read this anyway. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they didn't know what he was talking about. So then he goes on to say, and they reasoned among themselves, saying, it's because we've taken no bread. Don't you remember? Okay. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because you brought no bread? Was that a problem when I fed the 5,000 men, not counting the women and children? No. Probably 25, 30,000 people, really, maybe even more, because of the size of families in those days. So he said, do you not yet understand, verse 9, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000. The Lord had to repeat it again. And how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake yet not to you concerning what?
Bread.
Actually, the Lord has promised us, and many of us do not operate in faith. But he's promised us that he'll never leave us nor forsake us, and that he's going to supply for us. You know? And, you know, what we give is between us and the Lord. So I'm not stumping for money. But there's a principle. You know, were the Jews ever in a position where they should have been concerned about food when Jesus took them anywhere? No, they were always fed. And now they are put in a position where, you know, all they've got's a little boy's lunch. And Jesus blesses it and breaks it. And then each one of the apostles had to go gather up scraps. And how many did they gather up? And I don't know how big the baskets were, but they filled 12 baskets just with scraps. They didn't have that much to begin with. And this is after feeding 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. Well, what should that say to us as believers in this age? The Lord's not working miracles, you know, to establish who he is in this age. You know, he can perform any miracle today that he performed in time past. You know, but we have something now we didn't have in time past. We have an entire Bible, Old and New Testaments, written in languages that every nation of the world has a Bible in their own language. So, what are we concerned about? And it tells us we haven't got anything to be concerned about. Okay, let's carry it further. Now, the Pentecostal movement, as well as many others under the canopy of Christianity, deny the security of the believer. They say you have to keep yourself safe. Well, if I have to keep myself safe, then that would indicate the ability or some ability to do that. But when the scripture says there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not, what does that say about our abilities to keep ourselves safe? If we couldn't keep ourselves safe in the first place, oh, you believed on the Lord. Okay, now if you disbelieve, you can come back and believe again later on. No, that's absolutely false. People do that because if we're told that we have eternal security and that we shall never perish, we might get the idea that we can't be lost. And that's right, we can't be lost. No. Anyone who has trusted Jesus Christ as Savior cannot then lose his salvation. There are some verses that aren't translated exactly correctly because we're dealing with former Roman Catholics and Episcopalians in our King James Bible, who Henry VIII started the Episcopal Church because he felt that the Pope didn't have any right to tell him he couldn't marry Anne Boleyn. So the Pope can go to hell. That's where I thought he was going in the first place. This is history. This is what Henry said. And then the next thing is the king ought to be head of the church. Who is the head of the church in England? Whoever is king or queen at the time. They're the head of the church. Does that mean that all kings and queens in England are saved? Well, if you look at the history of England, you can say it's pretty evident that they weren't. But according to Episcopal doctrine, the king should be the head of the church. I guess supposed to be the head of the church, whether he's saved or lost. That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Okay. When Jesus perceived, and they reasoned among themselves, saying, it's because we have taken no bread, which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, and we just remember this, Yeah. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what's going to be added unto you? Everything that you need is going to be added unto you. You might not have everything you want, but everything you need, you're going to have. And I've lived through the Great Depression. My family was saved. I didn't know it. You know, my family, mother and father, they quit going to church because of a fight. And seems like I got poked in the nose a whole lot. I had an awful lot of things that happened to me up until I went into the Air Force. And then after that, I've told this story so many times, you're probably getting tired of it. But it's equally true today, you know, that after mother had two accidents, neither one of which were her fault, dad said, you know, Hazel, I think the Lord's trying to tell us something. There was nothing in my dad's life, during my life, that ever suggested to me that my father was in any wise, quote unquote, religious. I don't like that word, but you know, that's the way we would look at it. It wasn't a thing, except that when my sister got to be about 10 or 12, she wanted the Bible. And Dale started in with what Dale is very good at, teasing her. What in the world do you want a Bible for? You know. And Dad was all over me like a crow on a June bug. You know, crows eat June bugs. Okay. When I look at faces and don't see any recognition, do you know what a crow is? Do you know what a June bug is? All right. Anyway, and I couldn't figure it out. Why? Because I had no history with my own father with respect to salvation. You know, I was 21 years old when he died, or I was 20 and a half years old, I guess, when he died. And a year later, I'm 20. 21 and a half years old, when I'm saved, okay? I get things in the past, they get cloudy. Don't use that for an illustration now. Okay, it's not going to be a very good illustration because you can't even remember it. Okay, how is it that you do not understand, verse 11, that I spake not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now, what is leaven designed to do? The Jews baked a lot of bread that was unleavened, no leavening agent in it. So what would happen when it would be baked? You know, well, it would remain flat. And unleavened bread, I find it very, very good, you know. One of the things I wanted to try after I figured out the recipe from the scriptures is I've got to get some smoked salmon or some kind of smoked fish and have smoked fish and unleavened bread because I figured they would go really good together, and they did. Okay, so let's get back to this. And how is it that you do not understand, in verse 11, that I spake it not to you concerning bread? Now, do we as believers in Jesus Christ, who said to us, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of the necessary things shall be added unto you. Is there any situation that we can find ourselves in as believers that the Lord's not going to supply for us? No. He's going to supply. I mean, I've lived on very little in my life. I was born during the Great Depression. And, right after the Depression, we had World War II. What most people don't know about World War II is that Roosevelt immediately froze the wages, so you couldn't make any more money in World War II than you made during the tribulation, not tribulation, it was tribulation for America, during the the Great Depression. Many, many people lost their jobs, and you know, very difficult to get a job. And if you had one, you would do anything to keep it. Okay, very tough time in America. Only problem with that time, it had the opposite effect of what it should have had. The people that lived through that, so many came to say, and they think this way, I'm never going to, I don't want my children to go through what I went through. Well, you know, this nation went through the Great Depression because it was a worldwide depression, but we were in it 3 years longer because of Roosevelt's program, which were supposed to help us get out of it. And everybody then, from that time forward, has largely worshipped Roosevelt as God. And that was Roosevelt who brought us through the Depression. Roosevelt just made it worse. He froze wages. You couldn't make any more. World War II came along, so wages were frozen because of World War II. So you can't make any more money now. That means that the defense industry can produce more airplanes for less money or whatever they produce and make tremendous profits, but the employees will not be able to benefit from it. If they were working for that company before the war, because wages were frozen. So continuing on, he says, then understood he how he bade them not beware of leaven, of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Well, the doctrine of the Sadducees was the denial of virtually everything spiritual. They were just good people. I don't need to worship anything. I'm a good person. That would be putting the Sadducees the Pharisees, they were so self-righteous that they believed they could keep the law. So no problem. I can keep the law, and if I can't, I'll just rewrite that portion of it so I can. And even then, they didn't keep it. Okay. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? It's pretty important for us to know, who is Jesus? And people that read the account that don't have a spiritual understanding, they still can't figure it out. Looks like I stalled long enough, I can quit. don't believe everything comes out of my mouth. Okay, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Well, John the Baptist has been beheaded by Herod, and apparently, John the Baptist and Jesus were both on the earth at the same time. But John the Baptist had died, so you're John the Baptist come back from the dead. Or Elijah, or Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. We don't know who you are. Should they? If they'd known the scriptures, this is the disciples, this is the Jewish nation, we don't know who you are. Well, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. And then there is the 22nd Psalm where we have the description of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, crucifixion 600 years before crucifixion was known as a punishment. The Romans crucified, the Jews stoned to death. So He says, some say you're John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, and this with this we'll close, whom do you say that I am? And for each one of us, at some point in our lives, because we're believers in Jesus Christ, we have answered, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. To be the Christ, he has to be God. To be the Christ, he has to be holy. To be the Christ, he has to be a Jew. Yeah. To be the Christ, he has to be everything he performed both in life and in death. He's our Savior. Yeah. So to say that thou art the Christ, that can only be done by believers. And Jesus answered and said unto them, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. You didn't learn this from your peers. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. How do any of us know who Jesus is? Those of us who are redeemed, we know who he is, but we have the same source for knowing that Peter had. Notice what it says. And he said, Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, in verse 17, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now we've all heard Eric's testimony when he was sitting back there on that row on the aisle. And been in the church since he was a little boy and thought he was a Christian, but wasn't. And that day the Spirit of God quickened the truth to his 21-year-old mind, which prior to that he thought he was a Christian. But he wasn't a Christian. He hadn't believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And how many people come unto the Father outside of Jesus Christ? No man. So you can't put approval on every religious system in the world. And they all operate according to a corrupted sense of right and wrong. Has to be corrupted, because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Let's bring this to a close. So I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. This is the first of the keys of the kingdom. Yeah, that Christ, Peter was given the keys, and he speaks of giving Peter the keys in 2:14, 8:14, and 10:34 in Acts. Yeah. So it was Peter who opened the door to the Gentiles. Remember, he came, he fell asleep. While he was asleep, the people that came from Cornelius' house came, and so Peter went with them, and he preached the gospel to whom? To Gentiles. Cornelius was a Gentile. Peter had the keys of the kingdom, so the gospel is preached to the kingdom first. Even though the Lord had saved one Gentile woman prior to this, but as a whole, the gospel was preached to the Gentiles by a Jew. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for the marvelous truth of your word. And we know that there's anti-Semitism around the world, and now that the Jews were attacked by the Muslims, and that they counteracted and killed many more Muslims than Jews that were killed. We see people turning their back on Israel. And of course we know that the Jews, they're just ordinary people just like we are. But you came into this world as a Jew, you lived your life as a Jew, you're going to one day redeem the nation as a whole when you come in your second coming. And so, unless we believe like the Jews were commanded to believe, we won't have eternal life either. So bless in each of our hearts and lives, keep us strong in the faith. May we give a clear testimony of the saving grace of Jesus Christ to this lost world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.